James chapter 2, in your Bibles. If you're in your cell phones, make sure that... can you get in your Bibles without having... if it's disconnected? Yeah, I don't know. But we are in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're going to talk about honoring the poor. Honoring the poor. Okay, now remember... James is related to Jesus, okay? They both have the same mom, James. So, and probably that lent a lot to him becoming, not the only, but one of the reasons he might have become the head pastor of the Church of Jerusalem right from the beginning. He became the pastor, and the apostles concentrated on the word, okay? And prayer, like they said they were in the book of Acts. And when people came, Christians came from other churches that were being planted by Paul, okay? Probably by Peter as well. And they would come and they would tell Pastor James, okay, how their church is doing. And he probably found out from them that the rich were getting special treatment, VIP treatment in the churches, okay? When the rich came to visit, when they came to see what the hoopla was about, okay, in this new movement, they were getting VIP treatment, and the poor were not. The poor were not, okay? They were, and so I think it made him a little angry, or in righteous anger, we might say, and he put out this letter, and part of it addressed that issue that was going on in the churches, okay? And so today we're going to learn about that because a lot of us are poor, okay? We started off poor. And we need to know how to treat correctly those who have less than us. And that's what the lesson is about. So we're going to go to the text here and read it. Danielle, could you advance it for me? My clicker's not working. Okay, here we go. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay a special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Which he promised to those who love him? You have dishonored the poor man. Is not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? Blessed be the word of God. We are going to address, first of all, in point number one, the preferential treatment among the brethren is a dishonor to God. Okay? Is a dishonor to God. Now notice the verse again, verse 1. It says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Now remember, the Jews come from a background where they believed, okay? They believed that if a man was rich, it was because God blessed him and because he was righteous. Okay? Because he was righteous, God had blessed him and he became rich. That was usually the attitude. Jesus had to correct that belief with his own disciples. But that's where they came from, that belief system. And so they still carry this culture of preferential treatment by God to the rich. And thus they transfer themselves to the rich. And they, and thinking that the rich are blessed of the Lord and that they're righteous, they treat them with VIP, okay, VIP gloves. And so So here it is, the personal favoritism culture or attitude that was prevalent in the church. And we're not to do that. We're not to do that, okay? See, there is a temptation, letter A, there's a temptation to give favoritism to those who have means. Okay? The Gentiles do it. Not just the Jews. The Gentiles do it as well. But Lord, and so as you saw here in verses 2 and 3, if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, okay? You treat him better. Why? You see that everywhere, okay? And they expect it. They go into a restaurant, they expect better service than the regular person, okay? Some waitresses have actually done that, you know? Most are tempted to give special attention to a celebrity or a rich person that comes into their restaurant and really give them everything and extra what they want. Many have been left without a tip as a reason afterwards. They didn't forget about them, you know? They don't remember. I don't say they all do that, but some have actually forgotten to give the tip. And what's the reason that people treat the rich, the powerful, the influential celebrities? The temptation is, well, if I can rub shoulders with this person or gain this person's favor, then the favor will be returned to me, okay? Whether it's a job, a position, a recommendation, a money, a big fat tip, whatever it is, they think that they're going to get back something favorable, okay, beneficial. But the poor man, I'm not expecting anything back from that guy, okay? So they don't give much attention. There's a verse that speaks to this. Let me wait till I get to verse 4. So there's that temptation, brothers, and we've got to make sure that it does not come to us, okay? Because the person may not be rich, but he has more than the other guy. And then we might be making those distinctions, okay? Practicing favoritism, letter B, is deciding which believers are better than other believers, okay? That's what favoritism is saying. Some of you are better than others. Okay, here in our group, okay, here in this congregation. And notice verse 4, it says, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Become judges with evil motives. Again, there it is, the motives, brothers. What can I get from this person if I treat him extra special? What can I get from this person if I treat him extra special? That's the evil motive, okay? I remember there was a team of people that wanted to plant a church geared to the rich in Fresno, California. They wanted to plant a church geared to the rich. Okay, I said that does not sound good at all biblically. Okay, James would be all over this. Okay, if he heard about it. The church was geared to the rich, okay? Well, you know what? That church didn't go anywhere. It started a few services, and it was gone, right? It was gone. God wasn't blessing that. God was not going to bless that. So we need to be careful, brothers. There's a verse that says here, the poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. Those who love the rich are many. In normal times, and we're not in normal times, but in normal times, most people love the rich and famous. Okay, right now it's turning towards hate. Okay, yes, it's turning to hate. Let's pillage the rich and give it to the poor. Okay, and so that's the attitude that's going on. But the truth, though, normally is that they're loved because they can give something good back, okay, if we treat them good. Point number two, we need to know that the poor have a great place of honor before God. Okay? This is going to touch us somehow, in some means. It's going to touch our life, okay? So we got to pay attention. Because we might have an attitude that about ourselves that needs to be changed. About others that needs to be changed. So, what is this honor that we the poor have before God? Why do I say we? Why do I include myself as we? Because I feel monetarily poor compared to many others. Okay, so yes, and I was a tomato picker, grape picker. Grew up in the very poor family when I was growing up, and so. But God has blessed abundantly. James chapter 2 verse 5. Notice this honor that God speaks about. Listen, beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be two things, brothers, two things. First, to be rich in faith, number one. And second, to be heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. Okay? To be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom to those who love him. We got to make sure, brothers, that we're taking advantage of this opportunity as a poor person. As humanity, brothers, stands on the precipice of eternity, we're in the last days. The signs of Jesus' return are starting to show abundantly. Okay? Coronavirus, the riots, all of that. It's there in Matthew 24. Start reading it. As we are positioned, brothers, we need to understand that God has best positioned the poor for eternal advantage. You have an advantage, brothers, as a poor person that those who are not poor do not have. Okay? And it's an eternal advantage. Okay? It's something that will change your life forever and give you things you would not expect, okay, in eternity that others are not going to have. We are best positioned. Now, what kind of an advantage is like you starting a 100-yard dash, but you get to stand 50 feet beyond the starting line. Boom, the gun goes off and they're running. You got 50 feet than the other world, okay, than the rest of the world. You have an advantage. You have legalized insider trading into the eternal stock market of God's riches. Insider training. God is giving you special information of what to place, what to invest in so that you are rich beyond imagining when he comes back for you. That's eternal advantage. Okay. Let's look at some of these areas. But first we need to understand and be honest, okay? There is an earthly disadvantage, okay, of being poor. And it's obvious. There's an earthly, and we tend to focus on that. We tend to focus on the earthly disadvantage of being poor. Oh, I'm poor, okay? And what is it? Being tempted to envy? Being tempted to covet, being tempted to steal. Okay, there's more temptation because you don't have it. You have much less than others. There's a temptation for that. That's a disadvantage. Okay, to be poor means to endure greater hardship in making a living. You endure greater hardship. Another one. You have little to show for all the hard work that you do. You have little to show. Eating from, living from paycheck to paycheck. And the last, the poor live and die in obscurity. No one notices them. No one remembers them much when they're gone. Eh? No one talks about them much. And occasionally somebody's, oh, I remember so-and-so. You know, but they live and die in obscurity. Okay? That's a disadvantage. But now let's look at the advantages, though. Okay, but the poor in Christ. Now the key word is in Christ. Okay, because Their poverty is their greatest advantage. Okay? Their poverty is their greatest advantage. That's you and I, okay? You need to be asking yourself, what's my advantage then? If I'm poor, what's my advantage? If you ask that, you'll be ready to get the answer and remember it, because look at here. The poor in Christ is because he says, and they are heirs of the kingdom of which he promised to who? Those who love him. Not all the poor love the Lord. Not all the poor love the Lord. Follow Jesus. Go to church and serve him. No. But those who love him, brothers, they're heirs of the kingdom. They're rich in faith. They will become rich in faith as they continue to grow in Christ. So what is their greatest advantage? I'll make a list of three things. Number one, they're in your notes, okay, but here's the verses. The poor can focus more on his integrity, okay, on his relationship with the Lord. He can focus more because he doesn't have as many distractions as those who have more. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Though he be rich. We have an advantage, brothers, to focus on our right relationship with God. Focus on not perfection, probably, but I'm working on it. It's important to me. I want to do him good. I want to make him glad. Not just make me glad, but I want to make him glad. Okay? And so I am focusing on pleasing God with my life. Yeah? That's an advantage, God says, that you have over the rich who are crooked. Yeah? Second advantage here, Proverbs 22, verse 23. God's eye will always be on the poor. God's eye will never leave the poor. He's always watching out for us. Notice here, it says, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. He says, the eye of the Lord is always on the poor. Okay, I think it was going to be verse 22. But I only put 23 there. The eye of the Lord is on the poor. Go there, read it, notice it. That's you and I. You and I. Yeah. The last, we see here that the poor in Christ can only go upwards, brothers. The poor in Christ can only go upwards. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. God lifts them up. If you're poor and you have a mishap, a financial mishap, you don't have much to fall. You don't have very far. You almost hit I'm practically there already at the bottom. Right? If you're rich, brothers, you got a long ways to fall. Okay, and boom. Okay? A lot of them don't survive. A lot of them don't survive. But for the poor in Christ, brothers, we only have one direction to go, and that's upward. Upward to become through rich, becoming rich in faith. Okay? That's where it starts. Rich in faith, obedience. Okay, the Lord will start to bless. The Lord start to give us wisdom, make good financial decisions, yeah. And we start moving upwards. Okay, that's an advantage to start off as poor. You know where the blessings come from. The rich, they don't know often where the riches come from. We tend to gain an attitude, brother, that that is not right. Okay, where is it? I'll wait till that point number B. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Right? What kind of faith? What kind of faith that He exists? No, brothers, that's the beginning. Everybody should know that He exists. Okay, but it's faith unto salvation. That's where it starts. Okay. Faith unto salvation. It means that you have put all your trust into what Jesus did on the cross, so that you know without a doubt that all my mistakes and all my sins, every regret that I've ever had about what I've ever done, has been forgiven and wiped clean by the blood on the cross. I am trusting in Jesus alone. And that And because of what he did on the cross, I have access now. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. So that's where rich in faith starts. It's by trusting him unto salvation, unto my own salvation. Matthew 11:5 says, the blind receive sight, he tells the envoy. And the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He didn't say the rich, he said the poor, because that's where Jesus was. He was with the poor, preaching the gospel. The rich would come, because that's where Jesus was hanging out. That's where Jesus was preaching and teaching. They had to come to him. But he was focused on making the gospel accessible to the poor. Because the poor, the gospel was geared for them to receive it. Okay, they had nothing and Jesus was giving everything. Okay, he was giving the kingdom. He was giving forgiveness. He was giving eternal life. And so they would reach out by faith and receive it much more readily than the rich. Okay? Luke 6:20 says, when Jesus looked at his disciples, he turned his gaze towards his disciples. He began to say, blessed are you who are what? Poor. He also said poor in spirit in another sermon, which was Matthew chapter 5. Okay, that was a different place, a different group, but this is a different sermon. He said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. What a faith unto salvation means, man, I am looking forward to the kingdom, okay, to the next life, yeah. I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember that song? No turning back. He's leaving this world behind because he's looking forward to the world that he's going to have with the Lord in the next life. Yeah. And but see, if you understand this, just because you're poor doesn't mean you are in the kingdom. Okay? The poor need to hear the gospel. They need to respond in faith, repent of their sins, and turn to Christ for forgiveness. Okay? All the poor need to do that because he's telling his disciples who were poor that yours is the kingdom of God. His disciples who were poor. A lot of people say, oh, if you're poor, man, you got it. You're in the kingdom. No, you're not. You got to repent just like they, yeah, and become a disciple. And love the Lord and follow him. Love the Lord and follow him. They have faith not only into salvation, but faith to see the need, their needs provided for by God. Okay? They see God providing for their needs. That's and it grows their faith. It grows their faith. What's it say here? Daniel 4:30. It says, this is the opposite of what the rich usually is, the attitude they pick up, okay, of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is a very common attitude. The king was thinking this as he was beholding his kingdom from his palace. And he said this, he says, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Okay? He's giving the credit to himself for all that he had. Okay? The poor don't have that temptation. Okay? They know. The poor in Christ know that these things come from the Lord. Okay? They come from the Lord into their life. Every good and precious gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. We've already covered that, okay, chapter 1. That's where the poor know it comes from, okay? But the rich have this great temptation to believe, hey, everything I have is by my own power, by my own wisdom, by my own work, sweat and tears that I've built. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, be careful. You know what happened after he said this? He lost his mind immediately right after he said that. He lost his mind. Go back and read that. And he ate grass for 7 years like a cow. He thought he was an animal. God did that to him because to teach him a lesson that he was the King of Kings, not him. Everything that came from him, from his hand. And he had to learn the lesson the hard way. The poor have to put the kingdom of God as a priority. They have the faith, brother, to become, they're more rich in faith because they put the kingdom of God, they make it a priority in their lives, more so than the rich. Yeah? More so than the rich. I would like to say that. I love this picture. This is a African children, okay, in Africa. They're praying for the world. Okay? They're coming, they're taking turns, coming up to the map, putting their finger on a particular people group, a particular nation, and praying that the gospel would save the people in that nation. Okay? Who's he got his finger on right there? It's not Japan, it's across the ocean. It's probably Korea, South Korea. They're praying for South Korea, this one is. The one here, this girl right here, she has her head on Israel. She's praying that the people of Israel will recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Okay? This young man at the top, he's praying for Europe, steeped in liberalism, okay? Atheism. That Jesus would save the people of Europe. Okay? That boy at the end, who's he talking to? Who's he praying for? Can you tell? He's praying for you and me. Yeah. He's praying for the United States, which right now is crumbling, starting to crumble. Okay? Starting to crumble, brothers, but he's praying for us. Perhaps he's praying for the church in the United States to be strong, to be faithful, to preach the gospel. But see, they're putting the kingdom of God first. Yeah? Because Jesus commanded it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. I'll meet your needs every day. Okay? You won't lack. As long as you put my kingdom first. Yeah? And your relationship with me. That means that your righteousness, his righteousness. And that's what they're doing. How are we doing in that area? How are we putting the kingdom of God? How much time do we spend praying for the lost around us? We need to do that. We need to do that. Favoring the rich above the poor dishonors the Lord God. It dishonors the Lord God. Why is that? Why is God so touchy about the poor? Okay? Let's look at verse 6 and 7. But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? I think James was remembering how they treated his Jesus. Who dragged Jesus to the Sanhedrin? It was all those rich men, religious rich men, Herodians, Pharisees, you know, Sadducees, all of them were rich. They dragged Jesus to condemn him with false accusations and then send him off to Pilate. He remembers them. So all dishonor, brothers, we need to understand, all dishonor to the poor falls also on the Lord. Falls also on the Lord. Why? For he was poor. He was poor. If a poor person comes in here, how is he treated? How is he treated? Do he even notice? Anybody notices him? I hope so. Yeah. Oh, the pastor will notice him. What about you? What about you? Okay, we all have to be accountable to the Word of God here. Does he feel like a prince when he leaves because of the way he was treated? Yeah? Let's look at it. See, oppressing the poor, this is the opposite, of course, is to taunt his maker. It's to taunt his maker. The Word says here, he who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. See, the Lord wants us to honor him. To honor him by how? By honoring the poor. by going on our way to say, hey, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. What's yours? Where are you from? Oh, good. You know, we have a great service. You know, here's one of our best seats. Come sit over here. Sit with me, even. Come sit over here with me. That is to honor the Lord. Okay, that honors the Lord. Number two, Jesus, we need to remember, Jesus became poor to make us rich. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, well, when he was in heaven, yeah, when he was in heaven, he was rich. The angels worshipped him. He had everything. He was. When God said, I want you to make a planet, and Jesus would speak it into existence because he was the Word of God. Okay? I want you to put some light over there. Okay. Let there be light. And there was light. Okay? See, it was the words of Jesus which actually made everything. Okay? God wanted it to be done in his Father, and he would say it and it would happen. So he was the maker of everything, and he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He was born of a virgin, the poorest of the poor, not even a bed, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Through his message, through his poor life that he lived out and bringing the gospel to us, we might become rich. Okay, not just rich in faith, brothers, but rich in the kingdom. Rich in the kingdom. What a blessing. What an honor to be poor. Okay. What advantage, brothers, we have to be poor, okay? And hear the gospel and follow Jesus in this life. Yeah. No more. I don't think the Lord wants to hear anymore. Lord, why did you make me poor? He doesn't want to hear that anymore. You got the truth today, you and I. Yeah. Why did you make me poor? How come I can't afford that? Or how come I can't afford that? How come I can't get a bigger house? Or I can get, why did I just have a one-bedroom apartment? And all the God doesn't want to hear that anymore, because he has told you the advantage that you and I have in starting off poor and serving him. Yeah. Serving him. Let's do so, Lord, brothers, and let's remember to honor those who have less. Let's honor those who have less. Things to pray about. Number one, if you're poor, brothers, I want you to thank the Lord today. If you were poor and God has blessed you, thank the Lord, okay? For it was his hand that helped you become or be where you're at right now. Yeah. We're going to thank the Lord for making us spiritually rich, for raising us out of spiritual poverty, okay? A lot of people want to stay there. Oh, I'm saved. That's all that matters. No, and they want to stay spiritually poor. That's all as far as they want to go. No, God wants us to trust him, to follow him, to serve him, yeah, to love people beyond our carnal capacity. And number three, we're going to ask the Lord to help us now to honor those who have less than us. We're going to ask him to be obedient to his word. Okay? Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads. Let's go before the Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word and really opening up the truth of how much honor you have placed upon us who are poor, of the eternal advantages that you have given us to take advantage of if we would only trust you, love you, follow you, and obey you, Lord, that you would give us. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to thank you for those of us who find ourselves poor materially, for those of us who were born poor. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful experiences and how you have blessed us. We know today, Lord, that the blessings, all of them, have come from your hand, and we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We give you all the credit. None of it belongs to us, Lord. It's all by your grace. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to enrich us in our faith, to love you more, to trust your word more, to give of ourselves more, Lord, of our heart more, Thank you, Lord, for raising us out of spiritual poverty so that we might know and follow Christ. And Lord, as a result, we ask this morning, Lord, that you would grant us the power and the love, Lord, to honor those who have less than us, to show them respect and the attention and concern, Lord, for their well-being, so that you would bless our church and bless our lives. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen.